I read you.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Please be seated. So I've learned a new thing about moving to London, Ontario, that's different from the prairies. And that is, it's a good idea to wipe off the top of your car here. In Saskatchewan, it's no problem. You can drive with a snow hat anywhere you want to. But in London, say if you're driving down Warrencliffe and you're turning onto Belmont and you step on the brakes just a little bit too hard, all the snow just piles onto your window, and it's heavy, and the windshield wipers won't clear it off. And then you're sitting there, and you can't see the cars in front of you. The cars behind you are honking. You're trying to reach out your window with the snow scraper, trying to clear it off. Theoretically, these things happen, you know. Don't have any personal experience with that whatsoever. So just a little bit of a different place to be. We do have a couple of announcements today. The first is that Steve Hollowitz is playing the music of Queen in Halifax. And so he's having a blast. And we are thrilled to have Ralph back at the organ. So Ralph, thank you for being here. And the second is that we also have a guest preacher today. The Canon Mark Kingham is a retired priest from Toronto. He's joined the congregation as part of our parish family and usually sits right back there. But today he is going to be our preacher. And so we're thrilled to have you here, Mark. Thank you. The last announcement that I've got for you is that next week is Vestry Sunday, so make sure to mark that on. There's vestry reports out that can be gathered to look through and see how things are going, and please do come to vestry after church at 11:30 next Sunday to have the voice of the congregation gathered, to look at our financials, to look at the futures of the parish, and to have our voices heard and said and discerned together is crucial for the life of the parish. So please, please do mark your calendars for next Sunday as Vestry Sunday. And with that, I think that's everything. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened,
all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you.
And let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb and the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. 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 Thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
O Lord, your work is full of majesty and splendor, and your righteousness endures forever. You make your marvelous works to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion.
Alleluia.
To your people, you commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. The praise of the Lord endures forever.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your word to us today in Scripture. Enlighten our minds and enliven our spirits, that we may grow in our faith and in our faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. First, I would like to say thank you. Thank you for the way that you have welcomed Beth and I here to St. James Westminster. We started coming here in late August and soon figured out that this was home. And so we are happy to be here as members of this parish and to call this home. Now, having said that, next Sunday I begin an interim position at Old St. Paul's in Woodstock. So you won't see me very much, but you'll likely see Beth and know that this will continue to be home, even though I'm not here. As I read our lectionary readings for today, and especially the gospel reading, and Michael knows that I'm going to say this, I reflected on it and mulled over it, and I decided right off the bat, Michael, it's your job to deal with demons, not mine.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. As I read our gospel reading for today, I was drawn into the authority of Jesus and what it means to be astounded and amazed by all that our faith brings into our lives and the ways that God and his son Jesus are revealed to us. Christian Herter was governor of Massachusetts, and he was running for his second term in office. It was a very busy day on the campaign trail, and he hadn't had time to stop for lunch. Well, he arrived in this small town and ended up at a church that was having a barbecue supper late in the afternoon. He was famished. He moved down the serving line and he held out his plate for the woman serving the chicken. And she put one piece of chicken on his plate. "Excuse me," he said. "Do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," the woman told him. "I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person." "But I'm starved," he said. "Sorry," the woman said again, "only one to a customer." Now, Herter was a modest and unassuming man, but he decided, maybe this time I'm going to throw a little weight around. "Do you know who I am?" he said. "I'm the governor of the state." She didn't miss a beat. "Do you know who I am?" "I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Now move on." Authority, where does it come from? And for those who have it, how do they use it? Do elected political officials have authority just because they're prime minister or premier? What about those appointed as judges in our courts because they can bang their gavel? Or police officers because they wear a badge? Or university professors with letters of PhD after their name? Or dare I say bishops because they wear purple? Or clergy like Michael, Jerry, Adele, Dan, Ken, Kevin, and I because we wear a clerical collar and have some theological training? Well, to a certain degree, in each of those cases, yes, we do have some authority. Granted to us not to raise us above others, not to build up our egos or to put us up on a pedestal somehow, or to make ourselves and our contributions more important than anyone else's. And it's an authority that is definitely not to be abused. Rather, it's an authority that's built on the foundation of trust, to serve those around us, to meet their needs, because of the gifts that we have been blessed with, gifts that others have often identified in us, even when we couldn't see them in ourselves. And out of that authority, and out of that position, relationships can be formed that are meaningful. In his own day, the authority of Jesus was radical. Those who encountered him and heard him teach and who witnessed his miracles had never experienced or heard anything like what he offered, especially not from the scribes and the Pharisees or the priests of the Holy Temple, the ones who had been given authority over pretty much every facet of their lives, and over their faith life too. Jesus' authority was a message of hope and promise and new life that was grounded in God's covenant with his people, with love of God at the very heart and soul of everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did. Jesus, as the divine in their midst, was among them to point them beyond themselves, to point them beyond this world to the coming of God's kingdom and the coming of God's reign. But Jesus' authority was challenging too. And it was challenging especially for those who had claimed authority and who had used that authority not to serve those around them, but to claim power that would only serve themselves. Not to raise others up, but to elevate themselves, not to bring people into a growing relationship with the divine, but rather to limit their experience of the holy and sacred, adhering strictly to the rules and laws that were meant to control instead of liberate. Jesus' authority was meant to be transformative, encouraging people to build up their own gifts, to be offered in the service of others and their needs, and to grow in their spirituality, and to be nurtured in that relationship with the divine, to know themselves as loved by God who had created them, and the one who would always love them no matter what. Jesus' authority helped people find their voice rather than shut them up and shut them down, so that they could grow not only in faith, but in faithfulness, as they offered themselves and the gifts they developed back to God as a way of contributing to God's glorious kingdom. Now, the truth is, we know the story, and we know where Jesus' authority led to in his own day, to the cross and to Good Friday and his death on that cross, strictly because his divine authority was in direct opposition to the authority of those in power. It threatened them, and the abuse of the inherent power they had been given, or maybe more accurately, the power and authority they had taken or inherited. Jesus' authority was a disruption, and it couldn't be tolerated. It had to be dealt with. Jesus had to be dealt with. Well, what about today? What about our lives and our faith as disciples of Jesus Christ? What about our collective ministry as the church? We claim to be followers of Jesus, and we are. We accept the truth that he offers. We believe with faith in everything that he promises. We know ourselves to be loved and beloved because of who we are and whose we are. But sometimes I wonder, how does that get integrated into our day-to-day lives? How does the authority of Jesus make a difference in our lives? Like those in our gospel reading who heard Jesus, are we amazed? Are we astounded? Does our faith in Jesus make a real difference? Do we look at the world through the lens of the gospel and the hope and promise of the good news of God's kingdom and the eternal promise of healing, peace, and justice? The truth is, though, even though we have the freedom to gather and worship as we do Sunday after Sunday, and even as we are free and open to share our faith with those around us, the reality is we live in a very secular world that's often referred to these days as the post-Christian society, where the gospel is regarded as irrelevant, and what Jesus asks is a burden and inconvenient. Many people today are cynical and skeptical, especially about institutional religion. And in some cases, rightfully so. We need to acknowledge we as church have been complicit in that reality. Nonetheless, that is the context where we find ourselves, in the places where we work, in our schools and educational institutions, among our friends, maybe even among our families. And in that environment, as individuals who have committed ourselves to following Jesus and to actively living out our faith in who we are, in all we do, in all the relationships of our lives, we recognize and we are guided by the authority of Jesus. Jesus, who is our rock, the one who brings healing and wholeness, the one who offers love and mercy and grace and forgiveness, and who works through us to offer the same to the world around us. Sometimes I admit, when I look at things going on in the world around me, and things even right here in our own city and in our own neighborhood, especially the injustice, the poverty, the homelessness, the judgments and assumptions that people make, and further afield, the wars and violence and hatred between people, it's not easy to see, and it's not easy to recognize the glory of God. And if we can't see and recognize the glory of God, it's a lot more difficult to be amazed by it and astonished at the authority of Jesus. That I know I truly desire to be at the center of my being. One of the things that I like to do in preparing for a homily is to turn to Eugene Peterson's translations of the scripture, The Message. Because when I read his translation, I'm drawn into it in a different way sometimes because of his turn of phrase. And familiar passages can take on a renewed meaning. Our gospel for today is a case in point. This is how he translates it. Everyone there was spellbound, buzzing with curiosity. Spellbound, buzzing with curiosity. I want to be spellbound with the hope and promise of the gospel. I want to hear it as good news so that I'm part of that buzzing with curiosity. And so that when I interact with others, they can become spellbound and buzzing too. You remember the commercial, I told one person and they told one person and they told one person and on it went. And the product being sold became more and more well known. Well, imagine if you and I each shared with just one person how astonished and amazed we are at the authority of Jesus. And not just 2,000 years ago, but in our very lives today. Imagine how the gospel might spread as we become the evangelists that we are called to be. But there's something that has to happen first. We need to recognize and we need to claim boldly and with confidence and with conviction the authority of Jesus in who we are, in how we live out our lives, in how we view and approach all that is going on around us in the world. It's about not despairing as a people without hope. Even though wars and the environmental crisis cause so many to feel hopeless. It's about not giving up on helping the poor and those in need, even though the issue is so overwhelming and what we can do seems like only a drop in the bucket. It's about trusting in the healing hand of God upon us, even when we're anxiously waiting for the results of a biopsy or starting treatment of some kind or other. It's about feeling that peace of God, which is beyond our understanding and beyond our imagination, even though our lives may be in turmoil. It's about believing that we are loved and of worth, even when someone we're in a relationship might be telling us otherwise. It's about believing in the promise of eternal life, even when we're confronting the death of a loved one, or maybe even our own death. Our witness to the authority of Christ in our lives, in our time, can lead others beyond the cross to the promise of new life that comes with the resurrection. Remembering that we are an Easter people, a people of the resurrection. Yes, there was the cross, but right there beside it is the empty tomb of Easter and the risen Christ who is forever alive and who is forever present in our midst through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at the world around us. There are so many crosses that people are bearing, and there is so much suffering. And into the midst of that, we are called to proclaim the transforming truth that the risen Christ can and the risen Christ does make a difference today. And he always will as we recognize him, as we are amazed and astonished and spellbound, as we become part of the buzz, as we speak of the hope that we believe in, as we witness to the divine we've come to know through the gift of Jesus. Our baptismal identity that we have through our baptismal covenants is a good place to start as we integrate Jesus' authority with amazement and astonishment into our day-to-day living. So some questions to ponder and to reflect on to guide us in claiming that authority of Jesus. These are going to be familiar to you. I understand Michael spoke about them a few weeks ago, gave you a bookmark with them on. Think about these questions. How will we continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? How will we persevere in resisting evil and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? How will we proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? How will we seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves? How will we strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? How will we strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation, to respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? Now, there's something we need to remember. We don't have to do any of those things on our own, because we answer each of those questions, "I will." But we say something else too, "with God's help." And it's true. It's only with God's help that we can be faithful and true to the baptismal discipleship that God has called each of us into and that we have said yes to. So as we think about that story and the amazement and wonderment and astonishment of that crowd around Jesus, you and I, let's be attentive. Let's be attentive with ears, eyes, hearts, and souls open to recognizing the glory of God and the authority of Jesus, the authority that empowers us, that transforms us into faithfulness through the living out of those promises central to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's always desire to be amazed, to be astonished, to be spellbound. Let's be part of the buzz, because we know, because we believe in, because we trust in the authority that Jesus had, the authority that Jesus has today, and the authority that Jesus will always have. May it indeed be so. Amen.
I'd invite the congregation to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen."
I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
Jesus, Holy One of God, your teaching astounded those in the synagogue. Build up your church through godly preachers and teachers of your word. Excite our hearts to declare your glory. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness.
Jesus, Holy One of God, your authority awakened the people. Raise up the leaders of vision and justice. Sustain all who carry the burden of government. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Jesus, Holy One of God, your fame spread throughout the region. Draw our hearts to value integrity above image and to know our worth lies in your love. May we model our lives on you. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Jesus, Holy One of God, your healing sparked amazement. Give peace to all disturbed by ailments of mind, body, or spirit. We think especially of Anna Woodson, Sylvia Brightwell, Marlene Fagan, Sean, Eunice Smith, Liz Bailey, Gavin, Frida, Ashley. Pour out your compassionate love. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Jesus, Holy One of God, you bring life to all in the shadow of death. Raise up all who have died. We think especially of Paul Almas, husband of Nancy Adams, and Isabel, cousin of Mary Lou Anderson. Bring us to rejoice in your courts forever. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing to his disciples after his death and resurrection, said to them, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ. Peace be with you. Peace, Kate. Peace be with you. Peace. Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. God of steadfast love, may our offering this day, by the power of your Holy Spirit, renew us for your service. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shed our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me."
Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offerings of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We eat our body, we all share one bread.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Source of all goodness, in this Eucharist we are nourished by the bread of heaven and invigorated with new wine. May these gifts renew our lives, that we may show your glory in all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more.
And may the God of infinite goodness scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.